I want to turn our attention now to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. The word of the Lord is as follows. As the war between the house of Saul and the house of David went on, Abner became a powerful leader among those loyal to Saul. One day, Ishbosheth, Saul's son, accused Abner of sleeping with one of his father's concubines, a woman named Rizpah, daughter of Aiah. Abner was furious. "Am I some Judean dog to be kicked around like this?" he shouted. "All I've done for your father Saul and his family and friends by not handing you over to David, is this my reward that you find fault with me about this woman? May God strike me and even kill me if I don't do everything I can to help David get what the Lord has promised him. I'm going to take Saul's kingdom and give it to David. I will establish the throne of David over Israel as well as Judah, all the way from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south." Ishbosheth didn't dare say a word because he was afraid of what Abner might do. Then Abner sent messengers to David saying, "Doesn't the entire land belong to you? Make a solemn pact with me, and I will help turn over all of Israel to you." "All right," David replied, "but I will not negotiate with you unless you bring back my wife, Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come." David then sent this message to Ishbosheth, "Saul's son, give me back my wife, Michal, for I bought her with the lives of 100 Philistines." So Ishbosheth took Michal away from her husband, Paltai, son of Laish. Paltai followed along behind her as far as Baharim, weeping as he went. Then Abner told him, "Go back home." So Paltai returned. Meanwhile, Abner had consulted with the elders of Israel. "For some time now," he told them, "you have wanted to make David your king. Now is the time. For the Lord has said, I have chosen David to save my people Israel from the hands of the Philistines and from all their other enemies." Abner also spoke with the men of Benjamin. Then he went to Hebron to tell David all the people of Israel and Benjamin had agreed to support him. Thus far, the word of the Lord. Abner had consulted with the elders of Israel. "For some time now," he told them, "you have wanted to make David your king. Now is the time." I want to preach today from the subject, "When sometime becomes now." When sometime becomes now. Having been anointed to be king of Israel by Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, David's path to becoming king has been arduous and long. Spanning nearly 15 years, it has been fraught with challenge, loss, disappointment, and intense testing. Far from the images that we held in our youth of David quickly and easily ascending to the throne, the biblical narrative reveals a much more difficult and draining process for the man after God's own heart. For a considerable period of time, David and his crew have anticipated what was announced by anointing to be actual inexperience. But their journey alerts us to the hard truth of there being a stretch of time between announcement and experience. This is a constant theme throughout the Bible. 25 years elapsed between God's announcement to Abram and Sarai and the experience of Isaac's birth. 400 years elapsed between, for Joseph, the span of time between the two dreams announcing his ascendancy above his brothers, and his experience of becoming prime minister of Egypt was 13 years. It was 400 years between the time of Israel entering into Egypt and the promise of a deliverer bringing them out of Egypt. And it was 40 years between Moses' flight from Egypt and God's commissioning him to return to Egypt. The length of time between God's announcements and our experiencing what was announced stretches. It is a stretch in time, and unless we fool ourselves, we can all admit that it stretches us in terms of our belief. Stretches us in terms of our belief about God, about God's promises, about God's power to perform, about our capacity to receive, and our having the faith to wait until we experience what God has announced. The good news found in this text is that what David had anticipated and awaited for some time became the present time. The text reveals the occurrence of sometime becoming now. We hear it in the words of Abner to the elders of Israel, "For some time now, you have wanted to make David your king. Now is the time. For the Lord has said, I have chosen David to save my people Israel from the hands of the Philistines and from all their other enemies." The first part of 2 Samuel depicts the continuing war between the house of Saul and David. With Saul and Jonathan's deaths in 1 Samuel chapter 31, Saul's cause is picked up by his son Ishbosheth, who is accompanied and aided by Saul's trusted commander named Abner. Abner was as battle-tested and as crafty as they come. It would be Abner who would kill Asahel, the brother of Joab. A long war between those loyal to Saul and those loyal to David ensued. And the writer alerts us that as time passed, David became stronger and stronger, while Saul became weaker and weaker. Within this time period, Abner becomes a powerful leader in the ranks of the Joint Chiefs of Staff for Ishbosheth. And on one day, Ishbosheth accuses Abner of sleeping with one of his daddy's concubines, to which Abner is irate and decides he'll help David get what God promised him. He initiates an offer to David, who responds by requesting the return of his wife, Michal. Now, Ishbosheth takes Michal away from Paltai, the man to whom Saul had given her after David's flight from Saul. And this woman must have been a bad mama jam. She must have been a combination of Halle and Beyonce all wrapped up in one. For David to request her back and for Paltai to follow behind her weeping. There must have been something to her to have two men acting like that and one walking behind her weeping. Whip appeal she had in spades. It is here now that Abner makes his statement announcing that what had been wanted for some time was now. The sometime of anticipation and expectation was over. The now of experiencing it has come. For someone who's been waiting for some time, who's been hoping for some time, who's been trusting for some time, who's been believing for some time on what God has promised, on what God has announced, there is a moment when sometime becomes now. Notice, my friends, that it takes
some time for God to work in all things to produce his now. It takes some time for God to work in all things to produce his now. The writer intentionally alerts us to the time dimensions of this story. In the first verse, we are told of a long war between those loyal to Saul and David. In verse 6, we are told that the war went on. That is to say, this is a protracted period of time. And yet, within this protracted period of time, we are made aware of God working. The latter part of verse 1 tells us that as time passed, David became stronger and stronger, while Saul's dynasty became weaker and weaker. Verse 2 then begins to list the 6 sons who were born to David while he was stationed in Hebron. And verse 6 informs us of Abner's increasing influence in the ranks of Ishbosheth's leaders. Verses 8 through 10 then provide the account of the rift between Abner and Ishbosheth that prompts Abner to join David. In other words, during the time of David's waiting, I want you to look, God increases David's strength and influence while weakening Ishbosheth's. God makes David productive. He has 6 sons. God increases the influence of Abner, whom God is going to use to help David. And then God works within the dysfunction of the relationship between Ishbosheth and Abner to turn Abner's heart and turn his mind toward Abner, toward David. As a matter of fact, Abner starts talking about the Lord's will for David. He starts talking about what God wants for David. Now, you got to understand how significant this is, because Abner was in Saul's army going after David. He's been in Ishbosheth's army going after David. And now Abner is talking about the Lord's will for David. I guess I'm trying to let somebody know God works in everything contained in the sometime of expectation to create the now moment of experience. Somebody needs to know that God works within everything about the sometime of your expectation to create the now moment of experience. God is working in the seen and unseen aspects of the sometime. He's growing you. He's strengthening you. He's exposing you. He's grooming you. He's honing you. He's shaping you. And while you're waiting, there is a level of productivity. There's a level of fruitfulness and effectiveness. Like David, you're not where God announced by anointing, but God is producing something from you where you are. You're making things happen where you are. You're a blessing where you are. You're a contributor where you are. Things are growing where you are. Fruit is being born and legacy is being established right where you are. For some time, God has been working with people who are tied to what will be the now moment of your life. He's gifting them. He's establishing them. He's favoring them. He's promoting them. He's positioning them. He's opening their hearts and their minds. He's turning their hearts and their minds. He's attuning their hearts and their minds. He is creating conditions. He's laying foundations. He's establishing points of connection. God is working He's working within the functional and dysfunctional to free them for what his purposes are in the now moment that is to come in your life. He's causing somebody to sense and see what God's desire is for you. He's bringing them into agreement with what God wants. They will start confessing, for the Lord has said. They will acknowledge the Lord's choice. They will declare the Lord's favor. They, my God, will say, I've got to jump in the flow of what God is doing in your life. It takes time for God to work all things to bring about his now moment in our lives. Notice something else. It's not a matter of how long the sometime, it's the certainty of God's now time. Doesn't matter how long the sometime, it's the certainty of God's now time. See, God had whatever time it took for David's sometime to become now. The time of this text is a protracted period within the 15-year span between the announcement by way of anointing and David actually becoming king. No doubt, there were moments, if not years, where David may have wondered about the certainty. How much more time would it take? How many more battles must be fought? How many more disappointments could he absorb? How many more betrayals could he endure? Is his time running out? Can he and will he last? Let's just be honest. The longer that God takes to fulfill what God announces, the more likely we are to wonder about time. Do we have enough time? Will we have enough time? Can we last? Will we last? How much longer for somebody? How much longer the fight? How much longer the struggle? How much longer the worry? How many more delays? How many more disappointments? How many more obstacles? How many more crises? How many more challenges? How many more changes? The longer the sometime is, the more questions we are likely to have. Did I miss the moment? How far behind am I? Do I have enough in me to make up for it? My brothers and sisters, whatever questions that you ask betray a sense of uncertainty due to time having passed and how much time or how little time you believe is ahead of you. When it comes to the purpose of God and its fulfillment, hear me clearly. God has whatever time is needed for God to do what God has announced. When your pursuit is what God has announced, the certainty is in the God who announced it. The God who announced it is the eternal God with neither beginning nor end. He is the everlasting God who faints not, neither does he grow weary. He is the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the God who is before time, who creates time, who regulates time, who maintains time, and who is after time all the time. And he is the God in whose hands your times are contained. He is the God who knows the length of your days before any one day began. He is the God who assigns a time for every purpose established for you within time and who keeps it for you until it is time. This God is a God who says to you, whatever time it takes for him to do what he's purposed, you'll have. Whatever time it takes for him to show you what you need to see, you'll have. Whatever time it takes for him to make you whom he has purposed, you'll have. Whatever time it takes for him to take you where you're supposed to go, you'll have. Whatever time it takes for him to produce what he desires to produce from you and for you and with you and through you, you'll have. Look at Abram and Sarah. They had all the time that it took to bring Isaac into the world. Joseph had all the time that it took for him to be prime minister and for him to save his family. Moses had all the time that it took for him to be transformed from a prince of Egypt to the people of God's liberator and lawgiver. Joshua and the Israelites had all the time that it took for them to take possession of the land. Caleb, that 80-year-old that said, "Give me this mountain." He had all the time that it took for him to receive the land of Hebron as his inheritance. David had all the time that it took for him to move from shepherd boy to psalmist to soldier to sovereign in Israel. Job had all the time that it took for him to recover from devastation and have twice as much as he had before. The captives in Babylon had all the time that it took for them to endure 70 years of Babylonian captivity. Ezra and Nehemiah had all the time that it took to rebuild the wall and reinstitute the culture and religion of God's people. Zerubbabel and Joshua had all the time that it took to rebuild the temple of God. And in the New Testament, there was a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna. They had all the time that it took for God to show them what he promised in bringing the Messiah into the world. It's not how long your sometime is. It is the certainty of God's now time. It's the certainty of God's now time. And when you realize that, my friends, you don't start fret. You don't fret over the time. You say, "Lord, help me redeem the time. Since I've got all the time that I'm going to need in order to see your purpose realized in my life, help me not waste my time. Help me redeem my time. Help me make full usage of the time that I have. God, don't let me fret the time away. Don't let me worry the time away. But God, let me be present to all the time that you're giving me. Lord, let me take advantage of everything that's in the midst of the time that I have. Lord, let me appreciate the fruitfulness and productivity that I'm enjoying in the time while I'm waiting on my now time. Lord, let me make usage of my time. Teach me to number my days that I might apply my heart unto wisdom, because it's not how long, it's how soon. It's how certain God's now time is. For some time, God's announcement of a Savior was outstanding. It was a long time between the seed of the woman being announced in Eden and it coming to pass. But the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son born of a virgin named Mary. And for some time, he lived in obscurity. But when God's time came, the sometime of waiting became the now of experience. Look yonder at the Jordan River where John the Baptist experiences the now at the Jordan. Look yonder at the wedding guests of Cana in Galilee. They experience the now of water turned into wine. Look at the man at the pool of Bethesda waiting for 38 years, couldn't get into the water, but he experiences the now of the healing of Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, she experiences the now of touching the hem of his garment and she is made whole. The man called Legion, couldn't nobody tame him, couldn't nobody give him any peace, couldn't nobody clothe him. But when Jesus shows up, he experiences the now of having his mind regulated, of being seated and clothed and in his right mind. Look yonder at Mary and Martha with Lazarus in the grave for 4 days, and they wondered where Jesus was. But when Jesus shows up, they experience the now of Jesus being resurrection and the life. Even Jesus had to deal with his sometime, the time of anticipation, the time of expectation, the time of waiting until the now came his way. When he was born, there was an hour for which he had come. He had told his mother and father, earthly mother and father, at the age of 12, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? There's something that God has in store for me, and I'm on my way to that destination. And at the age of 30, when he's at the wedding feast and his mother says they've run out of wine, Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. In other words, my now, my real now, has not yet come. When his brothers tell him on time to go into Jerusalem and show himself to be strong and mighty, he says, that's not my time right now. There's a time that God has for me. But then when you get to John chapter 12, Jesus is sometime became now when he said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. See Jesus entering his now. Here, Judas's betrayal was a part of that now. Peter's denial was a part of that now. The disciples leaving him was a part of that now. The people lying on him was a part of that now. His being beaten by Roman soldiers all night long was a part of that now. His carrying a cross, my God, along the Via Dolorosa to the hill called Calvary was a part of that now. His being riveted in his hands and in his feet and being lifted up above the earth, it was a part of that now. His being pierced in his side was a part of that now. But there on the cross, Lord have mercy, a dying thief experienced the now of paradise there on the cross, the now of redemption, the now of salvation, the now of justification, the now was born, the now of being able to look and live, the now of being drawn unto him. It was all done by Jesus. And when he gave up the ghost, there was something still outstanding. For some time, death had a sting. And for some time, the grave had victory. And for some time, there was a question, if a man dies, shall he live again? For some time, the devil had the upper hand. But God was working in Jesus' death to take the keys of death and hell, to rob death of its sting and the grave of its victory. And early Sunday morning, God said, now is the time. And God raised Jesus from the dead with all power in his hand. And he's highly exalted and has a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I got good news for somebody. For some time becomes now. For somebody, God is speaking to you and he's saying the word now. Now is the time of sowing. Now is the time of reaping. Now is the time of waiting. Now is the time of receiving. And whatever state you may be in, now is the time to thank God that your life is in his hands. Now is the time to thank God that he's got your life and your time in his hand. Now is the time to thank God that he's working in everything. All things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now is the time to say, thank you, Lord, that I got the time that I'll need to do what you've called me to do. I've got the time to become who you want me to be. I've got the time to receive what you want me to receive. I've got the time to go where you want me to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.